Welcome to Mind the Gap, the podcast that explores the intersections between education, technology, and the future of skills. Today we have a special episode with our guest host, Jess Milligan, diving into the world of STEM education and the RAF's innovative approach to inspiring the next generation. We're joined by Wing Commander Russell Barnes, OBE, and Sergeant Adam Clare. In this episode, we're exploring how the RAF is tackling the STEM skills gap, the role of gaming in education, and the exciting ways they're engaging young minds through esports, virtual programs, and interactive STEM resources. Stay tuned for an insightful conversation on shaping the future of STEM.
A very warm welcome to you both.
Hello.
Why don't we start with just both of you running us through a little bit about yourselves and your backgrounds. Russ, why don't we start with you?
Okay, well, I'm an RAF regiment officer. I have served in the Air Force now for close to 40 years. I'm no longer a regular serving officer, which means I left regular service 6 or 7 years ago now to run the Youth STEM program full time. And that's what I do as my main role now. In running the Youth STEM program, we have a simple aim. We are trying to encourage as many students as possible to keep studying STEM subjects at exam level and after, really to make them in the pool to be future engineers and not out. And that is a free program offered universally across the country.
Amazing. Adam, what about you?
So I've been in the Air Force for 19 years. I'm a non-commissioned officer, started on the tools on Tornado, working on weapon systems, moved my way to transport fleet. I've worked across the globe with those, and I've been working on the Eurofighter for about the last 9 years.
Amazing. Thank you for that little bit of background. Let's start by diving straight into the STEM program then and talking a bit about that. It feels like a topic we talk about a lot, getting people to stick, getting the next generation to stick with STEM. Big challenge, really. So why don't you start by telling me a bit about the challenges you face and how the program works and tries to counterbalance those challenges?
Okay, well, the RAF are actually one of the first organisations to recognise the growing shortage in the name of STEM qualified people against the increasing demand for those skills. And our programme began back in 2008. It began primarily on the premise that getting more girls into STEM. If as many girls studied STEM subjects as boys, there wouldn't be a shortage of STEM qualified people in this country. And so that remains our biggest challenge. We also go to great lengths to try and make sure we reach as many people who would not think of engineering as a future and therefore never consider studying STEM subjects. So it's about awareness as well, making sure people are aware of the opportunities available to them. Now, I can't stress enough that in the youth space, we're not a recruiting program. Everything we do is about educational support. As many kids as possible study the right subjects, stay in the pool to be potential future engineers, and understand the future of what technical roles are available to them if they have those skills. So our program is completely free. We run a program literally from the tip of the Shetland Islands down to the Channel Islands, and we have a target of reaching 1 million students a year, something we have comfortably been exceeding for the last 6 years. And I'm confident now in saying that the RAF Youth STEM program is the largest such program of its kind in the country.
That is amazing. What a source of pride for you personally. Why do you personally feel so passionate about this?
Well, I kind of fell into this almost by mistake. My last regular job in the service was based at RAF Cranwell, and I was asked to assist in the preparation of the RAF 100 programme back in 2018. I celebrated our 100th anniversary. Now, a key element of that was an Inspire programme aimed at young people. And we developed a STEM programme from the very small program the RAF had been running for a number of years, and we grew it very substantially to support the Inspire program for RAF 100. Following the 100th anniversary, it was determined the program should continue at that level. And that's when I left regular service, basically to stay with it, having spent 3 years developing what was the largest single year of engagement any military unit had ever done with young people. We wanted to make sure we continued to benefit from that. So I moved into this job full time and have been doing it ever since.
That is amazing. What an achievement and what a source of pride for you. What does it look like when you talk about the outreach side of things and raising awareness? You know, run me through some of the projects and campaigns you've been doing.
Well, our program is basically delivered in three main ways. The most engaging of which is always face-to-face engagement. Where you put people in front of students and you're doing stuff that they are physically engaged in. That's always the best way of influencing people, the best way of helping them to understand the benefits. And frankly, it's more fun. And you know, fun is quite a key part of what we do. I like to think of it a bit like education by stealth. You know, as soon as you go into, if you're in a school, you're enjoying what you do. You're no longer thinking about this being school, this being education, and you're learning very much by stealth. So the face-to-face engagement program is by far the most important part of what we do. We do that in lots of ways. We send numerous contracted partners with whom we work, like Scoop, into schools to deliver a specialist activity we've developed together, which always has a theme to it, relates to what the RAF do in terms of technical capabilities. But we tend to use as engagement themes space, aerospace, and cyber. Now, it doesn't really take a huge amount of brains to figure out you can wedge most things into that with a bit of imagination. And everything we do in that engagement is curriculum mapped, so it supports what the teachers need, frankly. We also run a fairly large virtual program that began in 2020 when COVID prevented us doing direct engagement. We had anticipated the virtual program would come to an end when we went back to normal face-to-face engagement, but because of the reach for cost, we can't do so. It still reaches a huge number of other students who would not otherwise be able to engage with us. So the virtual program remains, usually supported by kit we send to schools in advance, so they have something physically to do while we do the virtual engagement. We also have a considerable amount of engagement done through the offer of free STEM resources, which are given to schools. And I say these are curriculum mapped for every area of the UK, every country, and teachers can download them and access them directly from our website or from numerous other sites across the country, the Royal Academy, STEM Learning, and various others. And that allows them to offer curriculum map resources to teach STEM subjects that are more difficult to access, particularly at primary school level.
It's interesting that you say that the virtual side of things almost started, as we've seen with a lot of things, off the back of COVID and was potentially going to be a temporary thing. But then actually we live in such a digital age that people are used to that. You know, we've seen that in pretty much every workforce across the country. You know, you take on a digital tool, but then actually it seems to have stayed and become a part of everyday life. Adam, talk to me a bit about the gaming side of things then and that and how the work you're doing within that space.
So I've been a lifelong gamer. My journey started back with the first Sonic the Hedgehog on the Mega Drive all those years.
Yes. What a classic.
Yep. And I have not stopped since. Currently, Satisfactory being my vice, over about 600 hours spent in that game. But bringing back to my Air Force career, it was, again, just before COVID, actually, like you mentioned, we set up the Royal Air Force Gamers Network, which then became RAF Esports. So the Royal Air Force has put a lot of time and a lot of weight into connecting players across the force and giving them an opportunity to play with each other, get involved in regular esports events such as Code Bowl, where we play Call of Duty against the other services. We have regular Rocket League tournaments. We have our own Formula One driving league. And the game I play and manage as well is the Minecraft side of things. And just the support the Air Force has given actually has been fantastic to the esports. And it is now a recognized sporting activity within the Royal Air Force, which is fantastic because it unlocked a whole new level of support for us. And like I say, it just happened by chance that Russ emailed me as he was working on this project for Youth STEM. And it was a beautiful clash of two worlds coming together for the project that we're currently working on with Scoob.
Yeah, with so many benefits to be realised. You know, I was already thinking then when you were talking about the different leagues, the sense of community that must be building through gaming. What are some of the other benefits you've seen from what might seem quite like small steps but actually having a massive impact?
So it's been really useful in my professional life, to be fair, where I have been to work and I've been speaking to someone only to realize there's someone I've played games with previously through the Gamers Network. And it's opened up avenues. So one of the things on the non-commissioned side, we are especially keen to teach our people new skills and to develop our people and sort of prepare them for later in life as needed. And through these contacts, through these people that we're playing games with, we're finding out about opportunities that may not have been advertised very well, advertising them amongst ourselves, advertising them to our peers. Myself in particular, I've learned how to code I've learned how to do video game programming. Again, I started with an old game, 1993's Doom, an absolute classic, and then moved on to developing my own games in the Unity platform, all based off of things that the Air Force has taught me. And through the Gamers Network, we've opened these opportunities between us.
Amazing. You talked about the different worlds coming together, you know, the STEM side of things, the gaming side of things, the utilities side of things. There's got to be sort of key values, key goals, key missions that bring you all together. What do you think some of those are?
I think for me, the key thing would have to be showing that the Air Force isn't what you see on TV or in movies or what you think the Air Force is. It's not a shouty, run to the tree and back organization. It's very much an organization that wants to develop its people.
It's also mentioned, the RAF is very much a team in what we do. Everything we do is done in teams.
Yeah.
Consequently, using a game that allows you to practice as a team effort, delivering an activity, which is also fun, is a great way of inspiring teamwork and showing people that you work together in order to deliver output. And the RAF is very much centered on activating in teams.
And at Scoop Climate, we're very passionate about breaking the norm, looking at ways to make education fun, the digital side of things. I'm interested to know what your impressions have been of working with Scoop Climate so far since bringing them along on your journeys.
Well, we're probably getting close to 18 months since our initial engagement. And we are now in our third development of the activity. So yeah, very, very well. And in fact, Scoop have delivered quite a lot of in-school activity for us as well. And that's all gone very well. It was a new departure for us. We hadn't used gaming in our youth STEM program previously. And as Adam said, it's been great to combine the two things. And in fact, my kids, I remember as they were growing up, they were very into gaming in a way my generation never had the opportunity to do. So it's been great to bring that into a classroom as well and see kids, as I say, learning by stealth, doing something they enjoy, which gives them a learning outcome as well.
Adam, what about you?
Yeah, engaging with Scoob has been fantastic, actually. It's nice to see how like-minded we all are, especially in the gaming sphere, speaking to the developers, speaking to the team behind the game. It's great to find common ground and be able to, dare I say, nerd out over this game.
I'm loving some of the quotes that are coming out of this. Nerd out, learning by stealth. I'm going to carry these all with me today. Just lastly, because I know we're on a tight schedule here, looking to the future, we're not perfect yet. No one is. There's still a way to go. What are your hopes and goals when you look ahead at the challenges still to go, Russ?
Well, in the program we're doing together, we're developing our single player options now. And we'll also, Adam will be building some deployable kits so we can take that out to shows and to engagement in schools so we can basically use the game in the widest possible environment and also make it freely available to anybody who accesses Minecraft online.
Amazing. Adam, what about you?
Yeah, I look forward to seeing everyone on the road, to be fair. When we get the deployable kit, we can able to take it out there. And I look forward to chatting to people about not only the Air Force's gaming and the support we give to that and the support to learning and coding, etc., but also about the day job, about engineering on aircraft, about deployable, about going away with the Air Force. There's so much to the, it's not really a job, it's a lifestyle. And to share that with as many people as possible would be fantastic.
Well, I feel like we have barely scratched the surface here. So all that tells me is you have to come in again and we'll have to do another podcast down the line. But for now, Russ, Adam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jess.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's a wrap on this episode of Mind the Gap. A huge thank you to Wing Commander Russell Barnes, OBE, and Sergeant Adam Clare for sharing their insights on the RAF STEM initiatives and how gaming is playing a key role in education. And a special thanks to Jess Milligan for being a fabulous guest host. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share it with anyone passionate about STEM, education, and innovation. Join the conversation on social media and let us know your thoughts. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and mind the gap.